Morning, church. I want to thank God for this privilege to share the Word of God with you this morning. And I want to thank Pastor Rick for taking my place and leading the worship. So it's a kind of switching the responsibilities today this morning. He take my place and I taking his place. We all know today is Palm Sunday, and this is the day Jesus entered into Jerusalem. And the people of God shouted Hosanna to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Unfortunately, today's message is not in line with Palm Sunday. To be very honest with you, I was not aware of today's Palm Sunday. So the topic is different, but then I believe God is going to speak to us in different ways. Today, I chose to share my testimony. At the same time, looking in the life of Abraham, the father of the faith. So basically, I'm speaking on faith this morning, and not because I'm very strong in the faith, but this is something I always encountered in my life. And without faith, it was always difficult for me to move ahead. So faith is something that I always encountered in my life, and even at this point of time. And I believe we will have a blessed time listening to his word. The most exciting thing that just Pastor Rick mentioned in his prayer, that Nim and I will be graduating this May, next month. And we are so much thankful to CIC family who have been faithfully working with us, supporting us, praying for us in different ways. And time has come for us to celebrate our commencement in the coming May 11th. And we're looking forward to go back home. In the past few months, we were kind of stuck somewhere on a crossroad. What to do? Where to go after my graduation? Because my daughter has a health issue, and because of that, the doctor advised us it'll be better for her to be here in Singapore for a bit longer so that she'll get stabilized in her immune system and the medications. So I talked to my seniors here, to my pastor, every Thursday, and then seek wisdom from God. And then I tried exploring the ministry opportunities here in Singapore. But don't really see God's opening door for us here. So at last, okay, maybe God has a plan for us to go back and start a ministry there. So we have decided, and then we are getting ready to move ahead. When this situation comes up, it was a bit challenging for me whether to focus on my ministry first or to focus on my daughter's health issue first. So that was the question that has always fighting in my mind, ministry first or family first. And yeah, so God gave me an affirmation that, yeah, should go back. And today I feel very encouraged with all of your encouragement from your prayers, for your support. And I'm so thankful to God for this family of CIC. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you for giving us this privilege to listen to your word. Lord, as I speak your word, I pray the Lord you will use me as your mighty instrument. I'm nothing, Lord, before you. And if you don't use me, I'm nothing. Pray the Lord you will speak through me to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. But once upon a time, there was a famine in the land. There was no rain for 3 years. So the crops were dying, the trees lost their leaves, animals were dying, and the land began to crack, the river water began to dry up. Out of desperate needs, the chief of the village called the community for prayer, to pray for the rain. And all the community came in and said they sat down under the banyan tree and they start praying to God for the rain. While they were praying, they noticed that there was a little boy coming to the prayer with an umbrella. The boy thinks that right after the prayer meeting, there will be surely rain. And if I don't take my umbrella there, I will not be able to come home without my umbrella. That was his faith. And this story, after I read this story for the first time, I feel like, wow, what a faith of this little boy. I feel like the Lord just slapped on my face and assumed, where is your faith? Because this is where I encountered every day in my life. I struggled with my faith issue. This story has always encouraged me in my faith journey and whenever I pray. And today I'd like to ask you the same questions to all of us. How are you exercising your faith when you face these kind of situations? Are you living in the life of faith? How did you respond? How do you respond? Do you respond with faith or do you respond with complaint to God when you face these kind of trials in your life? Living a life of life, how can we live a life of life? This is what we're going to talk this morning. Today we would look at three aspects of faith to see how to live a life of faith from the life of Abraham. And meanwhile, as we go along the way, I will share my testimony. The first thing, the faith that believes in God, even when we don't see it. Second, the faith that obeys His word, even when we don't fully understand. And the faith that perseveres the test, even if we don't feel like. Let us begin with the first aspect of faith. How can we live a life of faith? We can live a life of faith by believing in God. The faith that believes in God even when we don't see it. If we read Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 to 6. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abraham, for I will protect you and your reward will be great." But Abraham replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you have given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth." "You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Then the Lord took Abraham outside and said to him, "Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." And the verse 6 says, "And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith." This is what faith is all about. Faith is believing in something even though you don't see the whole picture. It is believing in something even though you don't see it. It simply means faith is believing even when I don't see it. Abraham has no idea what God was saying to him, that he will have a son and descendants like the stars in the sky in this old age. It doesn't make sense to him, but he believed and he received it. When it comes to New Testament in the Gospel of Mark chapter 11, 24, Jesus admonished his disciples about faith. Jesus admonished his disciples about faith. "I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you have received it, it will be yours." Faith is believing even when we don't see it. You just believe, even if you don't see it, even if it doesn't make sense to you. Many prayers and supplications we made every day as a Christians in our life. But the big question is, do we really believe that we will receive when we pray? The scripture is very clear that the faith that believes in God will have it. My real faith journey began when I married. And this is where I want to share my testimony here. Neem and I got married in 8 January 2014 and immediately came to Singapore for my studies. It was a big transition for us, leaving home, especially for Neem, leaving his family, just got married, and then we just moved. We got married in January, we moved to Singapore in May. It was It was just like a honeymoon for us, in one sense, coming out to other country for the first time together. So the life was full of joy, and we had a good time coming to Singapore. We were so happy. And when we came, Nim was pregnant with our first child, Yunri. She was probably 2 months. But when our baby was born in 1st January 2015, our joy and our happiness fell and turned into tears. My daughter was taken from us to NICU and has to go through 3 times major surgery as her intestines were twisted and blocked. The first time when doctor handed me a sheet of paper to sign it so that they can proceed for the first surgery. When I say first surgery, it simply means another surgery is coming. So my faith was shaken. Because it's the first time barrenhood, first time in my life having a baby, and then this is happening, which I never expect. And after 2 days, we found out that the first surgery was not successful. And they came up to me and handed over another sheet of paper to sign it as a father. And when I just read it, there are a lot of rules and regulations. If something happened to you, the father is the one who gives permission to do it. I mean, those kind of things. That's the procedure of the hospital. And then I have to read them and then sign it again. When the second time my faith was questioned, I started doubting, will she live? Will my daughter live? Will it be successful? Because the first one was not successful. Will this be successful? Will she live? It's a matter of life and death. I was so down. Another one is how much is going to cost? The most expensive hospital in Singapore, I would say. We have been saving up our money and had only 4,000 Sing dollar cash in our hand to pay for the delivery fee. And then right after the second surgery, the hospital bill goes up to 37,000. That was after the second surgery. And every day the bill from the hospital just flown into my email. I didn't know what to do. I was very worried. I worried for my wife because she hasn't rest. Because she was born on 1st January, second day, the baby was taken to the ICU. She hasn't rest at all. I was worried for the hospital bill, thinking that I may end up not paying the bill here in Singapore. There were a lot of things going on in my mind. I didn't know which one to handle first. Should I focus on my daughter? Or should I focus on my wife? Should I focus on the money that the hospital bill? If I would not be a Christian, I think I might have done stupid things in my life. I don't know. Just because I love God, I was able to believe in Him and trust in Him. Deep down in my heart, I was crying out to God for help. I owe so much to Pastor Rick and Susan. I'm not here to praise them or something, but they were always there, comforting us and caring for us. How difficult it was for me as a foreigner here in Singapore and a first-year student. I would say I didn't have much friends. And even in the middle of the night, I was calling Pastor Rick. That's how we were so down. We could have just called a cab to go to the hospital and see the baby in ICU. But we just keep on calling them. Now it's kind of very funny. We should have called a taxi instead of disturbing them from the sleep. And in the middle of the night, we would just call them. And Pastor Rick and Susan was like our driver. Just drive to our home and pick us up, go to the hospital. And at the same time, they were They were like our barons to us in this foreign land. And meanwhile, I came to know that they were also raising support for us to pay for the hospital bill, writing to all his friends and church members in U.S. and Singapore, in different parts of the world, and prayer letter. At that point of time, it was impossible for me to do all those things. I didn't even send out the prayer request to my friends because I was so down, I didn't know what to focus. And Pastor Rick was there standing beside me and doing all those things for me. There was no way. And after a while, after everything was done, the bill goes up to 50,000 plus. It was, wow, I can't imagine. I can't think of that even for the rest of my life. And I know many of the doctors, surgeon, anesthetic waved their fees, knowing that we are foreign, we are a student here. It was amazing. God was working in a very different way. The doctors waived all their fees. But the bill was 50,000 plus, even after everything. I still remember going to the billing manager and request to subsidize and waive the fees. And then I went three times. The first time I went there, they said, "You can't meet the billing manager. Just talk to me. What is your need?" The counter, one was in the counter, and then I talked to the front desk, and then explaining my situation to him. And then I went back again. I requested to make an appointment with the billing manager. Third time they allow me. I mean, the billing manager mailed it to me, and then, let's talk. So that was the day I went down and I said to him, we were in a small cabin, small room, and then I still remember I was crying like a baby in front of her and then sharing out all the struggles, all the thing that I was going through as a student, which I didn't really expect in my life, and she was there listening to me. And then at last, she could tell me was, she said, "We will give you $2,000 discount or subsidized $2,000. And I said, "Please, more." Because to me, the bill is 50,000 plus, and then 2,000 has nothing to do with that. I mean, so I asked for more. And she said, that's the only thing we can do it. And one thing she mentioned to me was like, "You are the first person who asked me. I mean, you are the first person in the history of Mount Elizabeth Hospital who asked to waive the hospital bill." And I was like, oh. One day, Pastor Rick told me, "Asung, the Lord has provided your needs. And the CIC director, Julie, will go today to the hospital and pay the bill." And right after she did that, the invoice came to my mail, and the information said the bill is all cleared. I went to my wife and said, we were speechless, and we just kneeled down and said, "Thank you, Lord. Our God is so rich." I told her, "Our God is so rich. Nothing is impossible for him." So the scripture, "Nothing is impossible for him," came to life in my family. My family owe a great debt to Pastor and CIC family here for working with us in times of our greatest needs, and there's no way we can repay you back. But we always thank God for this family, for this church, for this kind of church that is a heart to care when someone is down. And as a pastor, I realized that I should do that even in my ministry. So I have learned a lot of things from Pastor Rick. As a pastor, that's the quality that I should have. As a church, that's the quality that I should cultivate in my life. God has taught me thousands of lessons besides my lectures in the class. Coming to Singapore, journeying in Singapore for 2 years was a long year. I want to thank God for that. More than 3 months, we were fighting for this battle with Yunri's health. There were a lot of things that we need to go through because they created a storm out here. And then we need to, whatever she takes, it has to pass out from a dummy, and then we need to clear that. So 3 months we fought with that. But as we believe in God, we began to live a new faith journey of life. And that moment marks my faith journey in God. And we are living a life of faith today. We are living a life of, even at this point of time, life is all about living in faith. I'm sure you may have totally different situations than ours. It could be in the area of a family, in the area of your work, in the area of your ministry, in your finance, in your relationship. You may have totally different situations, hard times. How are you handling the situations? Are you tired of trusting God? Or do you doubt, do you believe in God that you will receive it? In that hardest situations, the one thing that I ask myself is that, can God do it? Can God do it? Let's just think about that. Abraham has no idea what God was saying to him, that he will have a son and descendants like the stars in the sky in this old age. That never makes sense to him, but he believed in God. It didn't make sense to me and my family when those things happen. When the bill goes up to 50,000 plus, it doesn't make sense. But we receive it. Keeping this in our mind, let me take you to the second aspect of faith. The faith that obeys God's word, even when we don't fully understand. The faith that obeys God's word, even when we don't fully understand. If we read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. Abraham was 75 years old. God called him to leave the city of Ur. He just simply obeys God, not knowing where he was going. It doesn't make sense to him. Faith is obeying even when we don't understand at all. Can you imagine if God comes to you today and say the similar thing? Especially to those who are secured here, you have your own job, you have your own flat, you have your own properties here, your bank account here, and God say, leave Singapore and come out from your comfort zone to that country and I will find you a job. I would just think asking that questions. Will you readily obey? It is very difficult. It is very difficult. Even if you say yes, I'm sure you will still have some kind of reservation. You may want to ask God, Lord, why is that? Where? Which country exactly I'm going? Where am I going to live? What kind of job? How much salary I'm going to get it? Then the Lord might say, just go. Just go. I'll give you a job there. It wouldn't make sense to you. Would you readily obey if you had never seen it? But Abraham just did it. He obeys God's word. He obeyed when it didn't make sense to him. He obeyed when he didn't understand at all. So God made him a father of the nation Israel because he obeyed God. Sometimes we don't really understand our situations in our life and we struggle, why this is happening to me? Why God is doing this to me and to my family? You know, such kind of questions comes up even though we don't understand at all. Even though it sounds crazy. Even though it sounds impractical and unreasonable for you at that point of time. But can we simply obey God like Abraham did? My dear friends, let me tell you from my life experience, from my faith journey, if we take the first step of obedience, God will guide us to the next step. And that is for sure. But it requires a lot of faith to take that step. It requires faith. And I've experienced that in my life. Faith is obeying God's word even when we don't understand at all. So faith involves taking risk. We have to step out in faith even though it appears risky. That's what exactly Abraham did. There are times when God calls us to do something and we respond to God, Lord, we will obey you, but let me settle this job first. Maybe after my retirement. Let's say in terms of giving. God told you to give something and you say, Lord, I'm just a student, I'm just single. No one can expect me to give. My pocket money is too small. A couple will say, we're just married. We spend a lot of money in our marriage. And the parents will say, we have kids in our school. And we need to pay their fees. And the retired person will say, I'm living on old age pension. Don't expect me to give. Excuse after excuse. Now, faith is not something like, let me check my bank account first and see whether I can afford to give or not. It's not something like that. Faith involves taking risks. It is obeying God when you don't understand it. If you say you will give only when you have it, then that's not faith. Let me give you another example. Say you have only $100 for this month. And God spoke to you to give that $100 to someone else who is greatly in need. That requires faith. Because you have no idea what is going to happen if you give that $100 to that person. What is going to happen to you? If you give that, you are taking risk. Because you have no idea what you are going to eat tomorrow. Faith is giving when I don't have it. It is giving when I don't have it. Okay, we have some technical issues here. Let's go to the last and final aspect of faith. The faith that perseveres the test even when we don't feel like. The faith that perseveres the test even when we don't feel like. We can see that from the life of Abraham. If we read Hebrews chapter 11, 17 to 18, let me read it for all of us. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. We all know the story of how Abraham was tested to offer up his only begotten son, Isaac, in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 18. We didn't have time to read all of them, but let me just summarize the story. God said to Abraham, Abraham, take your son, Isaac, whom you love so much. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. The next morning, Abraham got up early and saddled up his donkey, took his son Isaac along with his two servants. When they reached the place, Abraham built an altar. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar. We all know the story. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. But the angel of the Lord stopped him and said, Abraham, for I know that you truly fear God. That's the story. I really like this. Verse 16 to 18. The angel of the Lord said, because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond numbers, like the stars in the sky. Beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. All because you have obeyed me. All because you have obeyed me. Faith is persevering even when we don't feel like. Abraham persevered through the tests, and God was pleased seeing his faith. Just because Abraham believed, he obeyed, and he persevered, all the nations of the earth is blessed today. Now, what does the faith that persevering the test looks like in our life today? Well, to me and my wife, again, coming back to my story, when the doctor announced that my daughter, Yunri Anna, has a cystic fibrosis, which has a life-threatening disease, which has no cure, it was hard for us to understand. We were speechless. We were overwhelmed. And we have no idea what is going to happen next. She has to be on medication throughout her life. That's what a doctor says. Her medication process itself is already tough for my wife and for me because it has a lot of process. We need to do physiotherapy, inhalation, 3 kinds of inhalations. So the whole day in cage with her medication process. And it is very expensive. All her medicines are very expensive. That 2/3 of our monthly expenses goes to her medication. We don't feel like continuing this life. We don't feel like living this throughout our life through this situation, through the same situations. We see a very tiring life ahead of us. We don't feel like continuing. But the Word of God tells us that we should persevere in faith. We have to persevere in faith. And Nim and I have decided not to give up, rather persevere in faith. We are hoping that this life-threatening disease is the fight we must win. And this is our strong decision. This is a fight we must win through prayer, through faith in God. There were a lot of sad things told by the doctors. And then I just read up in the internet about CF patients, how their lifespan. It is only 15 to 20 years. People who have this disease, that's their lifespan. And I told my wife, I may die earlier than my daughter. We might die earlier than my daughter. It's not in our hand. Life is not in our hand. We just go ahead, persevere in faith. Let's believe, let's obey, and let's persevere. That's our decision. Again, not necessarily the same situation for you. I know many of us are persevering here, maybe in your workplace. Different reasons. Maybe you don't feel like working, but you are. You don't feel like continuing there in the same place, but you are persevering. Maybe in terms of making decision, in terms of future plan, maybe health issue, some relationship, etc., etc. There are times we feel so down that we don't feel like being nice to people. We don't feel like coming to church on Sunday. We don't feel like reading the Bible. We don't feel like praying. But faith is persevering even when we don't feel like. It is persevering when we don't feel like. If you go to church and pray, read the Bible only when you feel like, then that is not faith, isn't it? Then that is not faith. Anybody can do that. Even the unbelievers can do that. Do it even if you don't feel like, and that is what faith is all about. Even if it doesn't make sense to you at this point of time, do it. It will make sense when you start obeying, when you start believing, when you start persevering. If any one of us here today thinking of giving up of anything, it could be your school, your job, your relationship, your commitment, your marriage, or giving up on your health, I would say this message is for all of us, for you. Let us keep doing the right thing, even if we don't feel like. Even if it is too hard, even if it doesn't make sense now. Even if it is impractical, even if it is unreasonable. Sounds crazy. But faith is persevering, even when we don't feel like. So today we have seen three aspects of faith to live a life of faith. The first, the faith that believes in God, even when we don't see it. Second, the faith that obeys God's word, even when we don't fully understand. Third, the faith that perseveres the test, even if we don't feel like. What do you think of these three aspects of faith in our lives? Can we apply? Can we start living out? Or even if, after hearing all this, if you're thinking, oh, but how can I have a faith like Abraham? He's the father of the faith. And I'm just an ordinary man. How can I live like Abraham? It's impossible. It's true for him, but it's not true for me. Well, if you're in that situation, the Bible is very clear, saying in Romans chapter 10, verse 7, faith comes from the hearing of the word. If you feel like you have not enough faith, it comes from God. It's not from our ability. It's not from our strength. It is a gift from God. And now that you have heard, faith comes from hearing the word of God. If we lack faith, we should ask God for it. If we read in Gospel of Luke chapter 7, verse 5, there the disciples, the apostles asking God, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Also, the father of the boy who was possessed by a demon exclaimed in Mark chapter 9, 24, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. There are quite a lot of people who prayed for their faith, who cry out to God for their belief. Increase my faith. If you feel like you need to increase your faith, let's start praying to God today, from today, and asking God, because He is the source of our faith. Secondly, if you're facing any circumstance and situations today that has shaken your faith, and you feel like giving up, you don't know how to handle it, take that as a challenge. Fight for it. That is the fight you must win. And make that a turning point to renew your faith by believing, by obeying, and by persevering. If you do these three things, I'm sure you will start enjoying your life because it will make sense to you, living a life of faith. Walking by faith and not by sight. Let us walk by faith and not by sight. Let us not forget it is impossible to please God unless you have something, and that is faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Living a life of faith. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful for who you are and what you have done for us. Sometimes our life is tough and we don't know how to handle the situations. Sometimes things doesn't make sense in our life. But your word is very clear that we should live a life of faith. Then everything is going to make sense. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. Give us strength to live a life of faith and help us to walk by faith and not by sight. For we know without faith it is impossible to please God. help each one of us, help CIC, help the people who are here today to live a life of faith in our life. In Christ's name that we pray. Amen.